I'm going to call Craig and Yvonne first, let them talk about what happened at Gateway for them.
Yeah, that's a big church. There's a lot of people there. 5,000, I think. Yeah. It was a great time of praise and worship, and everybody's hand was extended, and the music was loud. Yeah. And yeah, I had to wear my earplugs. It was that loud, but it was really good. It penetrated your soul. And the word was awesome, too. Anyways, they had breakout sessions, too. And one of the breakout sessions we attended was empowering your congregation for worship. The main thing I got from that session was that as being a worship leader, and I'm not just the only worship leader, we're all worship leaders, okay? So that people beside us can feed off of each one. We need to have a passion for God's presence. Yes, a real passion. Worship is love expressed. When you go to show love to your spouse or your family member, what do? You walk up to them like this? No, you put your arms out to them, right? So we need to do that to our Father into heaven. Hallelujah. So we can receive from him. Yes. That's how we need to do it.
Well, it was an awesome experience. When you see it on the video, it doesn't compare at all. Like I said, it's so huge, but I was so grateful that we had the chance to go there. A couple of different sessions that we were able to do, and one of them was the children's ministry. And as soon as you go into the church, you just walk in there, and it's just like eye candy for the kids, even for the adults. Hey, like they had murals painted on the walls, which were just unbelievable. So, I mean, it's going to draw the kids in. So we went through a tour, and one of the guys that was leading it, he was actually went from one of the other campuses, but he was just telling us the different things that you have to do as a teacher. Of course, they go through all the criminal checks, all of that, just to make sure the kids are safe. And their rooms are unbelievable. They have it from like babies up right up to grade 6. And the rooms are incredible. They have, I think they have 5 services on the weekend. So after every service, the teachers go through and they clean every single item. They disinfect and they put it all back to what it was like. Because you know what it's like when kids get in there, they start playing with toys, everything is everywhere. And of course, parents don't want to come in and see a mess like that. So when they come in, they see the room is organized, the teachers are ready for the kids. And another thing is the teachers, you can't just wing it. Like there's no way you can wing it because they really put you through a process where you know your stuff. For a month, they will teach the same lessons, like let's say Noah, but they will present it 4 different ways. So the kids like, oh, okay, I get it. Like you're saying the same thing. And then they will learn a verse for a month. And anyways, the teachers are very well prepared. What they do before they even teach is they have to go through a kind of like a training process, and they will videotape them while they're teaching. Like they'll do a trial run, and then they'll sit down with them and say, okay, you said like 50 times, that's not going to fly, right? Because kids will pick that up. So they want you to be well prepared. And even for leaders on the sidelines, they want you to participate. So you're not going to be standing there like this watching the kids do the actions, because kids are going to be watching them, and so they need to participate. So that was really impressive to see that. And then another breakout session we went to was, we had just kind of, Corey had given them to us online, and just so we thought, well, we'll just try this one. And it was called I Wish I'd Known. And so we went in. There was probably about, 50 people in there?
Yep.
And as soon as we got in there, this is so bad, but I'm going to say it. There was an old guy there, and I thought, okay, this is going to be a snoozer of a thing here, hey? So then Craig and I just kind of looked, and we're like, okay, if we have to sneak out, like there's another session we can go to. Well, as soon as this guy opened his mouth, like, we were totally blessed, and we were hooked. Like, as soon as he started talking, we're like, okay, we're totally staying. Anyways, his name is Tommy Briggs, and he is 80 years old, and his body shows his age, but his mind and his speaking, like, he was just sharp as a tack, and like I said, he just kept us enthralled the whole time. Anyways, he gave us all this book, and it's called I Wish I'd Known. I Wish I'd Known. And he gave us all a copy after. And I've just started getting into a little bit, but I just wanted to point out a couple key chapters here that he had. And one of them was, I wish I had known my inward heart was more important than my outward appearance. He said he was quite tall and gangly as a kid, and you know, he didn't play basketball because he wasn't coordinated. And so he just kind of touched on that a little bit. And another one was, I wish I'd known head knowledge is not the same as heart knowledge. And that really spoke to me. In one of his quotes here, he said, I had the head knowledge of how to be saved. I knew to confess my sin. I knew Jesus was my Savior. I knew that I had to ask him to come into my heart. But those things had to become real in my heart. So you can say them, but you actually have, it has to be a part of your heart. And the last thing that I just want to share with you is he had said, I wish I'd known time has no reverse. All I have is today. And James 4:14 says, for what is your life? Even it is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And his wife passed away, I think he said 6 years ago. And, you know, he's at that age now where he's looking back and he think, you know, he can't look back anymore. He has to be forward. And he says, as I enter into the sunset of my life, I realize how important it is to open myself to hear the Lord every day and to practice his presence in the midst of having fun and connecting with people. You cannot go back. You have to go forward. That's why it is very vital to enjoy the people around you and not take them for granted. Take every opportunity you have to be around somebody you love, especially close friends and family. Live out every moment to the fullest. Time has no reverse. All you have is today. So that really spoke to me. So yeah, if you guys have a chance to go, I really encourage it. Yeah, it was awesome, and yeah, we had a great time. So.
Tommy Briggs is one of my favorite people to meet down there to talk with. We've been there. I've been down there 6 times now, and probably 4 of those times I had a chance to talk with Tommy. And this time it was just in passing in a hallway, but it was very, very good. He just has a father's heart, and it's just amazing to have. But I'll let Jules talk more on that one. So and Eleanor. So I'm going to call them up now and let them have their time. You guys don't get claps, sorry. Yeah.
Well, we all got this nifty book at the conference that you can write notes in, and I can tell you they don't have enough note paper in order to write down everything that you want to write down. One of the things that I really, there were so many things that I got throughout the conference itself. It's a leadership and worship conference, so they have 2 different streams that you can participate in. And what I found is what they said in the main service where the pastor started and they go on, their leadership reiterated that in a session. So it wasn't just that the senior pastor said something. It was that the vision of the church, the mission of the church, it emanates not only in their leadership team, but also in the people in their congregation. In the first session I went to, they echoed what he had said in the opening service. But then at the last day there, I met this older gentleman, and he had actually been working, and this was his first evening service that he was able to come, and he was so excited to be here. And the moment he knew that I was from Canada, and he goes, is there anything we can do for you? We just want to train you. We just want to uplift you. What is it? And it was, he echoed their mission and vision, and he brought it to life. And it was not just the lead pastor, it was the whole congregation that brought that mission and vision and that welcomed people with open arms and open hearts and to say, how can I uplift you? How can I train you? Is there anything that you need? And what can we do for you so that you can get the most out of your experience here? So that just really spoke to me in and of itself. I went to different sessions than Craig and Yvonne did, and actually as Jules did, I think there was only one separate session that I ended up with Jen in. And the first one I went to is Let Her Lead, and it was by one of their senior associate pastors, Mallory, and then Marcus, who did this, who we listened to in Sunday school today, and he's what they call the theologian. He's like the meat and potato guy. And there was so much in that session that they brought forward, but one of the things that really spoke to me, and I said it later in the car, was that a... what was it? Yes. No, not an assumption. An expectation is premeditated sin. And I'm like, ugh, right? Because we have expectations of our spouses. We have expectations of our bosses. We have expectations of our children, of our friends. And really, when we have those expectations, we're setting ourselves up for failure. We're setting ourselves up for offense. And they said, you know, an expectation is premeditated sin. And I was like, wow, Lord. Oh, because I'm guilty of that. I have expectations and then I get disappointed and then I'm kind of grumbly about that situation or that circumstance. And God really was speaking to me that, no, you shouldn't have those expectations.
And I thought she shared that for my benefit in the vehicle that day.
No, it was all for me. Sorry, honey. I'll let Jen speak about one of the sessions we were, Mistakes and Mantles, and it really spoke about our role as worship leaders, that we are also intercessors in a church, that our role is not just that of our worship. It's not about our worship. It's about joining the hand of God to the hand of the people in the congregation and being that intermediary and bringing people into the presence of God. But one of the things that I do want to highlight in that session was when it talked about when we take offense, and, you know, again, that expectation, premeditated sin, when we take offense with the authority, we miss the mantle that they have to impart into us. And if we are blinded to their mantle because of the offense, we're losing out on what God has for us. And every man and woman of God that is put before us, they have a mantle and something that they can impart into us. And as Corey already said, that pastor had really that father heart, and he has something to impart into us, and that's that father heart. And we can either take that from him or we can be offended because of something he said or did. And I really said, okay, Lord, where am I, where have I taken offense and missed the mantle? Where have I taken offense and not been able to receive what God had for me because I was so busy meditating on the things that I shouldn't have? Because our mind can only be occupied by one thing. Either it's open to receive or it's closed. And so we have an opportunity every Sunday, every day of the week, every moment when we meet people to say, what can I glean from them? What can I learn from them? Do they have something that I want God to impart into me? My pastor in Ontario once said, Eleanor, I'm going to pray for you that you have empathy. And because I'm Dutch, or at least I was raised in Holland for most of my life. I'm part Dutch, part British. And he says, you have that, you know, very, you know, get to the point, don't sugarcoat it. I had an assistant once who said, you're kind of hard, and you need to be softer, and that's Canadian, and I don't know how to be that. But he prayed for me, and all of a sudden I found myself in the office at the place I was working crying for people because they were telling me a story. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? And it was God just imparting that empathy that I could see beyond myself. And it was funny because I prayed the same for my husband. And he's been like a blubbering mess ever since. And so that's awesome because we can pass on that mantle to others, right? And we can take that impartation. Pastor Brian Houston, and he's the senior pastor from Gateway Church, Hillsong's church, sorry. He said at one point, we should be married to our vision, but we should be dating. Oh, where is it? It's somewhere in my notes. It's either him or one of the other guys said it. Sorry, I'm going to look at my notes, or maybe it's in the page that I... Anyways, we'll move beyond that. It was a good quote, but it's somewhere in my notes. Anyways, Pastor Greg Lowry, he said, new believers need old believers to stabilize, but old believers need young believers to energize. You know, we can be either a live church, and we can draw in new believers, and their excitement and enthusiasm for God can either be something that we want to squash and squander, or we can say, I want to get that enthusiasm for you. I need to reignite that faith that I have, that excitement, that newness in our walk in Christ. But also, old believers, as older believers or people that have been Christians for a long time in their life, we have a lot that we can teach about the stability and not the emotional roller coaster that sometimes happen. And so we were challenged to not be a dead church. Dead church worship in the past, they are inflexible and resistant to change. They have lazy leadership. They're wrapped up and in the way things have always been done, and they lack an evangelical passion. And so Pastor Greg Lowry really challenged us to be, and this is where I think in a number of sessions it came down to, we can be married to our vision, but we need to date how we express that, and we need to be able to engage all three generations in how we worship and how we do things, because just because it was done so for the last 100 years doesn't mean with new technologies we can't change things and engage that as well. But we can do both. And it doesn't have to be one way or the next way. Even in Gateway, they talked about when they worship, it's no longer just all the new songs. They have gone back to bringing in hymns, and not modernized hymns, but hymns as they were sung in the olden days, because we have three generations represented in our church, and we worship, and we need to lead everybody into worship from all those generations. So there's so much there in meat and potatoes, and as Jen said, we go back to the book multiple times to just get through what God is teaching us, and every day it's something new. And I hope that you have ears to hear and a heart to respond, that if God is speaking to you today, that you'll respond to his leading in your life.
Yeah, with what she just said there, that you'll respond. A year ago, Pastor Corey came up to us and he said, I bought tickets for the Gateway Conference, and I strongly feel you guys should go. Okay, well then, as our lead pastor, we'll submit. And thankfully, we didn't do it kicking and screaming. We just submitted, and we did. And, it's coming to crunch time. We're going on this trip. And Eleanor and I, the last couple of years, didn't have the greatest years for the ability to say, oh, yeah, we're excited to go. Pastor Corey was excited to go. We were like, but what about this? What about that? What about this? What about this? What is this? But you know what? Because of obedience, it all came together. So I'm very thankful. So the conference was just a portion for me. It was just a portion of the greatness of what happened that whole week. Gained a greater relationship with the couples that we went with. It was fantastic. Yvonne was great on how quick she rebutted and said some things that just totally slapped me across the face. I loved it. I liked it. It was awesome. She got some high fives on those. It was good. And then the conference. Like TD, the church worship there and all that, that's totally my style. I am black. It's my mom's fault for dropping me in bleach, but I loved it. I was totally about that loud, crazy dancing, ha, amen, and everybody's sitting, and everybody's up, and everybody's sitting, and everybody's up, hallelujah. So I really enjoyed that. That was a wonderful message, too, pertaining to snakes, and he had a great big image of snakes behind him, and then he's talking about how the venom of the poison that can hurt or kill you is how you also gain the antidote. So, wow, that's powerful. The hurts of our past, we can become the antidote for others. And then he'd be up there going. It was the funniest thing to watch. And then we went to Habitation on Sunday evening at Gateway. This was like it wasn't really the kickoff of the conference, but it was kind of a kickoff, which is fantastic, wonderful. What it is a whole time. They do a real short message to encourage you in faith, but then it's testimonies. testimonies of things that have happened, and they read them out, they share it, and it was just amazing. You could sense such a building of people's trust towards God and his goodness within that whole room. And then the next day was conference time, and it was amazing. It was just, I couldn't get over how many people were there. The whole place was just packed. There was no way you would admit even half the amount of people there in the 2 days/3 days if you did workshops. But I did definitely make some divine meetings. It was fantastic. Like Pastor Corey shared last weekend, we had met Simon, a young pastor out of South Africa. I also met a pastor. His name is Ed. He's not the famous Mr. Ed, but he is Ed out of Orlando, Florida. Made a connection there. And then I also met another guy during a lunch break on Tuesday, and his name was Woody. It was pretty awesome. His name was Woody. And he's a technician out of a church on the east side of Texas. And I just had a conversation with him, and you know, he's like, oh, the pastors, oh, the pastors, oh, the pastors, put pastors on pedestals. And I said, are you the one that runs the lights? Are you the one that runs the sound? Are you the one that helps that pastor look so good up there? He goes, yeah, but that's just the job I do. I said, do you have any idea what you're doing? You are the spine, the backbone to why that pastor looks so good up there. Right? He's like, no. I had to stay with him for a few minutes to help him finally realize, thank you. Like, I'm trying to compliment you, mister, and all you're doing is backlashing, saying, no. I guess he's trying to think that if I admit that I help the pastor look good, that I'm not being humble, right? It's about knowing that no matter what any of you do in this church, any of you, whether it's cooking food, whether it's cleaning this room, to sound, to whatever you do, we can't have this organization working as well as it is without all of us. And it's okay for us to go, I'm proud of what I do, not because I'm all that, but because God, you are all that in me, and I get the opportunity to do that. So I helped him realize that. And in doing so, this is what I was leading up to with that, is I was late for my workshop session, which was the children's workshop session that I was supposed to join. Craig, Yvonne, and Pastor Corey, and Jen, were you on that also? And Jen. And so I didn't make it on time. I didn't join the group. I didn't get to follow the tour that they got. So I show up late. I think I was 15 minutes late. And there's this young technician guy, the irony of it all. I could sing, isn't it ironic, but you might boo me off the stage. And he comes up, he introduces himself. My name's Phil. And he goes, were you supposed to be here for the group? And I was like, yes, I was supposed to be here for the group. I'm a little late. I'm really sorry. Ah, don't worry about it. I'll help you find the group. Let's go. So he starts talking to me about what happened in this room for the whole group when they were sitting there, got the little bit of a session, then they went for the tour. So he shared, like, quote-unquote, brought me up to speed. And then he starts taking me for a tour. We went from one classroom, which was like, ooh-ah, like they were saying, these classrooms are three-dimensional murals. You got a car coming out of the wall, and it's like bright colors. So what kid would not just go, wow, it is really well done in that sense. And so we're going from classroom to classroom. Is this your group? No, that's not them. We must have did about 6 classrooms, and it was no the whole time. And he goes, I'm really sorry. What would you like to do? And I said, I don't know. I guess I could just go and try and meet. You know what? He says, why don't I give you a tour? I'm like, I'm serious? Aren't you too busy to? No, not at all. This is exactly what this conference is for. We were imparted and empowered by our lead pastor to ensure that we are empowering and imparting into you leaders here when you're here. So let me give you that tour. I'm like, wow, what a special child I am. I get a special one-on-one tour. How great is that? So he takes me not only to the classrooms and shows and explains things, he then took me to the control room. And I said, are you allowed to do this? He goes, no, but it's okay. Let's do it. So I got to go to the control room. Like, that was huge. It was bigger than this stage. And it was TV screens, like, I lost count. I tried to count. I took a photo. And then they had soundboards. Then there was another section of other digital screens and soundboards. And then behind there was another control board. And this was all because of the amount of media broadcasting that they do. Jaden, you might love that to see that. The media broadcasting, like, it's incredible how big this room was and how many people had to operate to make a sermon on the platform go live around the world. And then there's another little room off of that room, which has its own TVs, digital sound and everything, soundboard, and then they had computer speakers. Because when it goes live on the internet, the sound that you get for TV is completely different than the sound that broadcasts through the internet. So this person who runs that one has to adjust the sound so that through the computer it comes out correctly. I was just like, whoa, this is amazing. So I took photos, but it doesn't do it justice. So that's why I'm not even going to show you, because it just looks like TV screens. Then we went from there, and I got to see another control room. And this control room is the when you have words within the sermons, like the Bible verses, the songs, and then also child protection, where up in the corner, when a parent needs to be called to come pick up your child, you're assigned a number, and that control room gets the call, they pin it up, and then when the parent shows up, they get the call again to say, okay, they're here, you can take it down now. This little control room is another little room, which I got to meet all the techs there, and the irony of it all, got to thank them and encourage them in that same manner that you guys are backbones, that you guys help all this look great. And there was six of them sitting in there, and five of those, they took it, no problem. But the one out of those six, I could see, I got to repeat this. I had to repeat it three times for that one to finally go, light turns on. That's right, I am doing a ministry. This is honoring God in what I do. You know, a lot of times we think that it has to be the flashy, shiny person dressed up here speaking the word and that. Are you kidding me? It's not. What honors God way more is the ones behind the scene, the workers that sweat, that clean the toilets, that serve coffee, et cetera, et cetera. So that was something I really saw, and I really got blessed with. It just totally encouraged me. And then from that control room, I got to go backstage. Wow. This stage is huge. You remember, if you watch the videos when they have their music, and it's just massive. So it was really, really, yeah, massive, huge. From projectors to great big massive LCD screens to lights and stuff. So they really amp it up to help make it almost like a show. And the thing is, even with me sharing all this technical stuff with you, the thing is we could get lost in how great the technical things are. But these people who are all these workers, they had something about them that made them more than a worker. They had, which was my favorite lesson. It was called, can I steal it, or were you going to share it? Okay. Adventures in Prayer. She's 70 years old. Her name's Mary Jo. I can't remember her last name. Pierce. Almost related. And she is, did anyone here not see the movie War Room? Okay. She is that old black lady on the movie War Room. She is a bunny trail person. She's like, squirrel, 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 as she's sharing adventures in prayer. But you sit and listen to this woman, and you could tell what she had that a lot of these backstage workers had and all that was relationship. A relationship, an intimate relationship with the Father of creation. That it wasn't losing focus on all the ooh-ah of the stage and the focus of how great the lights look and the music sounds and all that technical screen stuff. It was about the fact that one and first foremost in all of it, I have my intimate relationship with God Almighty. Not just I read the scriptures and I pray my words for people because it's nice, but I read the scriptures, I pray for people, and then I be still and listen. And that's what she shared about having your prayer chair, your your chair or your place. Mine is when I drive vehicle. That's that I learned is my place. Is where you can just be in that place where you can converse with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit talks back to you. You talk to Holy Spirit, and you see things in the Scriptures you never saw before. And one of the greatest things that she highlighted within having Scriptures, having that place, having your moment of listening, is also make sure you journal. There was a really, really big importance on why God had Moses begin the journaling and then the rest of Israel journal, journal, journal. Write things down. Because you may think you have a good long memory, but I can guarantee you that short pencil is way better than your memory that's long. So write it down, and then when you want, you have to refer back to it. I had things that I used to write, and then for a long time I stopped. So thankfully, she gave me the little mama kick in the butt and said, start writing again. And so thankfully I have. And I do it digitally. I live in the digital age. On my iPad, I have notes there, and I digitally write my journaling. She was so amazing in her, the presence of God that was with her. Like, she could squirrel and lose you in the topics very easily. But because of the presence of God that was with her, you're just like, I'm not sure what she said, but I'm still here because that presence is amazing. And so at the end, I hugged her, I thanked her, and oh, I'm so glad I hugged her. Because I started to cry more. Because empathy started to grow more. And that Tuesday evening, I got another impartation from another person. Some of you may have known this name or heard this name. This man has so much compassion within him. It's like, wow. A while back when I saw the movies Holy Ghost, I said to Eleanor, if I get a chance to meet this man, I want to meet him because of the compassion he has in him. I'm hoping that, you know, rub it off on me. I'm pretty sure it did. Todd White. Todd White was at the evening service. I had to go through 3 security people to get the chance to shake Todd's hand. And that's all. I would have been happy with just shaking his hand. He pulled me in and hugged me. And his dreadlocks are pushing against my face. But then he backed off and he looked at me right in the eyes. And you could just feel love of God through this man. It was wonderful. And so then, on Thursday, which I forgot in my personal one-on-one tour that I got, which I was so thankful for, did not plan this. Pastor Corey had mentioned the day prior, Jules, maybe we should get you an appointment with Freedom Ministries because of what last couple of years has conspired. And then Monday, God was really showing me more things. And I was like, okay, you say it, your lead pastor, do it. Okay, so I'll try and book that for you. He talked, it didn't get the chance to book it. But in my one-on-one tour, Phil, who is a TA, a technician advisor, got called by this one girl, said, can you come? Pastor Briggs needs you to fix his computer of something. So he says to me, well, can we stop the tour for a quick second so I can deal with this? Of course, why would I ever stop you from doing the work that needs to be done? So I get to go with this guy, and I get introduced to this pastor, and his name is Tommy Briggs. And I'm like, oh, okay. I really didn't know who this man was. I had no idea. And his man, Tommy Briggs, and the person who was introducing said, he is the lead pastor of the Freedom Ministries. Huh. Okay. Hey, guess what? My pastor wants me to get an appointment. Can I get an appointment with one of your pastors? He goes, let me check my schedule. I'm thinking, we would have been okay with just one of the ministry pastors. We don't need the man. He checks his schedule, and we get a 3:30 appointment on Thursday, and we get to go and see him at Freedom Ministries. So while the others are off to an awesome baseball game where the Canadians kick butt, Eleanor and I get to go and be honored by this man who is a father in the faith. And I thought, okay, I'm going to do a lot of bawling and a lot of crying. We get into his office, and the presence of a healing of God is just there. It's just, you just know that this is God's healing presence. And I'm like, wow, that's cool. And I'm not talking just physical healing. I'm talking the soul, in-depth healing. And so we're sitting there, and there was a little bit of crying. And it was wonderful. But I'd say about 80% of the whole time was actually the opposite of what I expected. So therefore, I was sinning. Thank you. I'll never forget that. There's those one-liners that you just, you know, rings over and over, and it's really healthy. The whole session time was him being a father giving this little boy who never got affirmation as a kid, he just gave me affirmation after affirmation. And I'm thinking to myself, why are you making it about me? My wife is sitting beside me. Make it about her. But it brought such a healing within me that I needed that I got home and I was able to now start giving my kids affirmation that was a struggle for me to do. It was hard for me to say good job. Instead, it was criticizing what they were doing wrong when they did a good thing, and I need to highlight the good thing. And now it's like just easy. Hallelujah. It was, yes, thank you, Jesus. One more. Every day, God did something while I was there that just, I was, wow. We decided to go to Target because somebody in the audience here had a special request, and you just heard her snicker. I was trying to be inconspicuous about it. So we went to Target to get some stuff. Yay, there's a Starbucks in Target. So Eleanor and I decide we're going to go grab ourselves some Frappuccinos. And there's this woman who's serving us who smiled identically like Adriana. So we said, she smiled like her. And we're like, she reminds us of Adriana. And then she says, the server says to us, absolutely. And so we said to her, you really remind us of a friend we have back home. And she said, that is the craziest thing for you to say. You are the third people to say that to me. And I said, it's your smile. It was amazing. Well, lo and behold, she opens up.
So she opens up, she says, I'm actually not supposed to be here today. I was just in the hospital. And she shares with us that 3 days before she lost her baby. And here she's standing there smiling and just oozing the love of God, because she's a woman of faith, we found out. And in her emptiness, she is blessing us, and what an opportunity. So we had said, you know, before she shared that she lost her child, we said, well, can we pray with you? And she goes, yeah, I lost my baby this week. And her pregnancy was terminated early for whatever reason, but her husband was really struggling through this. And so we had an opportunity to pray with her and just bless her, and she prayed for us that in the conference as well, that especially for Jules, that he would get what he was looking for, that he would get the answers and directions. And so we came back at the end of the week. Do you want to share that, Mark? Are you good?
That's what happened there also. Like, we had this moment with her, prayed with her, we went outside. And Craig and Yvonne and Pastor Corey were sitting on the bench. Jen, you were just in another store, and then you were coming out. We came up, and so we were about to share. And the moment we tried to share it, I just started to bawl, so I just turned around and walked away because I couldn't contain the crying. And so Eleanor shared. And so that's why I said that's what happened there. So then we go back to Target Friday. And I'm like, oh, this is that store. I want to go and find out how things are. So I asked her, and because she had mentioned that her husband, whose name is also Ed, and her name is Angela, and I would encourage you all to, If Ed and Angela come upon your mind, lift them up in prayer. He was struggling more than she was, she said. And so I wanted to find out, how's he doing? And she said, since you guys prayed with us, it still comes. We still get emotional, but we get through it really quick. It was like a lot easier to get over the loss. And I was like, that's really nice. And then she right away, as any Bible thumper, Jesus-loving person would do, turned it right around and said, well, how about you? I said, oh, wow. Yeah, I thank God I'm getting answers, getting direction. So I'm not going to share it now, but in the future, things will come forward and that. So I'm very thankful. This trip, I can tell you, though it was pastor and leadership focused, if you're not in leadership, honestly, if God puts it on your heart, I would really like to go there. Heed that. Talk to Pastor Corey. I'm pretty sure he won't say, thus saith the Lord, no. I'm pretty sure he won't do that. Thank you for your time.
Are you able to, am I on? Are you able to handle one more from Jen? Whatever. She said to me, are you preaching today? I said, well, it really depends on you guys. You know, if you guys take too long, then I'll just say amen at the end. So, but we'll see. Well, I have lots of times to share. So we'll see. I might share too. Depends what she says.
What I say, yeah. Yeah, we just to kind of give you a little bit of heads up, we go there for 2 days, two full days, and that's 5 sessions each day. So you have 3 sessions all together in the middle, or beginning, end, and middle, and then 2 breakout sessions. And it's a lot. It's like you just come away and go, whoo, I got so much information, what do I do with all that? So you have to process a lot. And part of what I really enjoyed was hanging out with the different groups later and kind of rehashing it and going, what'd you get? What, you know? And it was interesting how 2 of the sessions I took, later Jules took. And so that was kind of neat that we weren't in the same session, but we took the same stuff just at different times. Yeah, so much. The one guy that talked about mistakes and mantles, he spoke a lot about Elijah and Elisha and how Elijah was not very good at passing his mantle over to Elisha, that he was really actually having an issue with his own pride and stuff, and he literally just kind of threw his mantle off as he was descending in the clouds and being taken. I was struck by that we need to, our goal in ministry is actually to lose our place so that we can pass it on to our sons and daughters who need to find their mantle in ministry. Some other quotes, it was like, if you have a church that God is not welcome in, then you have a worship problem. Let us never be there. Theology 101, God doesn't need you, but he called you to use you for a specific work. True worship needs to be expressed. And this is different for every person. Perhaps it's in kneeling. Perhaps it's singing. Perhaps it's shouting. I got kind of loud there. I think I shocked these guys actually a little bit. They're like, is that you? And I want you all to know if I do that, please don't think something's wrong with me, because everything was great. It was really great. Maybe it means to lift your hands and worship. But really, it's because worship is a relationship. And one of the things Pastor Morris said was that when God wanted to make something, he spoke to the thing that he made it out of. Like he would, like if he was making a plant, he spoke to the dirt, right? And he said when he spoke to make us, he said, let us make man in our own image. We are him. We are his spirit. God made man out of his spirit, and my spirit came from God. And he said, the plant doesn't say to the dirt, you know what, I'm just going to pull out. I'm going to pull out. Well, that would be the stupidest thing because he lives out of that dirt. So do we ever say to God, I'm just going to pull out? He's our very life. Another quote that Robert Morris shared with us was that faith is not just obedience. And I really took that one to heart, and I've still been stewing and digesting that truth. It's not just about doing what's right all the time and knowing that this is good, this is good. Faith is more than yourself. It's still coming out. We got to share this with the family even just this week, where someone had stumbled and fell, and they felt awful and they were guilty. And it was like, you know what? Faith is not about obedience. It's not just limited there. Your faith is over and above all of that, that even when you do stumble and you fall and you mess up and you screw up, God is still your God and you're still his child and you're way more than that. Another quote he said in the worship time was that God doesn't hear voices, he hears hearts. So sometimes it's really hard to be up here and to look out and we're like, how's everybody doing out there? Are they getting into the worship? Is it hitting them? And sometimes faces and dispositions are really hard to look at. So I trust that it is hitting here. If it's not changing this, but at least it's changing this. I long that it changes the outward look because people see us. People look at what we look like. And if we're like this all the time and like it just, they don't see God. But if they see your smile and your happiness and your love, they're going to respond. Some other parts that were big was leave the results in God's hands. It is his harvest. It's not about all the things that we do and we've got to have this person come to the Lord or whatever. It's his harvest to win. All he asks of us is to be faithful. But part of that was we have to make sure we actually cross our finish line. Let's not give up before we've finished. And just like even that Tommy Briggs, he's 80-some years old and he's still running his race. He's not done. And he doesn't live like that. We're not done. Brian Houston said, ceilings and floors. He said, we need to set up the next generation so that where our ceiling is, it's their floor. And we want to push them further beyond where we're at. Eleanor used that really good one, that expectation is a premeditated offense. That was really good. And it came along with this thought. When you see a leader make a mistake, we tend to, at that time, overlook the mantle that God has put on him. And we miss what we're supposed to be there to learn because we're so busy being offended by something that happened, by mistake. And then we don't receive that which God really intended for us. I thought Craig might share about habitation. Habitation is the service on the Saturday night. So before, what, sorry? Sunday night, sorry. It had nothing to do with the conference. It's what they do every month. And people put in prayer requests about lots and lots of different things, needs that they have. And they only take care of certain ones in their service. But one of them that night was about a little boy who I think was about 2 or 3 years old. Correct me if I'm wrong. Who had stomach issues. And he was really violently sick all the time. Like I think he was vomiting and had diarrhea a lot. And he was better at this time. But the dad got to share that the little guy got healed. Only when he finally, as the father, admitted that he needed to ask God for that healing. they'd been praying for so long, but he himself had not actually, he was afraid. He says, what happens if it doesn't happen? Then my faith is fallen, right? And so he was scared to actually admit that he needed to ask God for the healing. And when he did, it happened. Jimmy Evans, who you guys might know in the marriage and that type of training he works with his wife on, he talked about laying a proper foundation in the church. And he talked about the apostolic leadership, to have a father heart in our churches. And this is kind of some of the stuff we're working on right now, even within our church, and that's some of the board fellowship times, to build our leadership, to build our foundation, so that as we decide to go into different ministries or to take different constructions on our way up, that we have solid foundation. We need to all know that we're in this together. It came out in Sunday school today about different kinds of temptations that we're accosted with. And part of the whole week for me was getting to bind with some of our leaders, to know that we are all in this in a partnership. We need to take care of each other. It's not okay to not do that, right? He just desires so much more for us. I loved little Mary Jo Pierce. She was the prayer lady, Adventures in Prayer. And I went there with huge expectation because we had already been doing in Sunday school how Simeon, he fervently prayed for his Savior to come. And our prayers are big. And I don't think, get that. At least I don't get that. God wants to use our prayers. He doesn't want us just to be spectators and watch what he's going to unfold. He's asking for us to pray it into existence, to pray the Savior to come. He wants to stir us up to prayer. And some of the things she shared was, Father, how do you want us to pray? Like, sometimes we don't even know how to tackle a certain issue. We need to have some guidance and deliverance first to know, what is it that you want us to say? Not just to go off and pray anyway. And to ask him. Jules brought up about the listening chair and the prayer chair. God wants to speak to you. He's very intentional about your heart. So ask him. She made up a word. She calls it tentology. She says, when Moses wanted to meet with God, he went outside of the camp and he pitched a tent and he stayed there. And when all the people seen that he was in the tent, they were staying at their entrance to their tent because something big was happening over here. And they needed to watch to see what Moses' role would be. And so she's like, it's the tent of meeting. We need to have an appointed place and time to meet with God, to be content where we're at, but also to look forward to what he wants us to do and to come and be fed from the Lord. I also took in one other little session about the Morris kids. These were the children of Robert, and her name has left me, Debbie Morris. So they're adults already, and they have their own children. But it was interesting to know that while some of the kids really weren't affected by church, even though lots of change was going on when they were young, others were. And they believed in lies that the church stole their dad, and they really didn't want to be a part of church. Sometimes we're too busy to watch and see what's going on with our kids, so I encourage you all to, if you see something happening or if you see that kids are getting left behind, I encourage you to let us know and also to pray about them constantly because they need it. They're going into that teenage role of things, and it's kind of a little bit fun. Yeehaw. Yes. Yeah. I just want to share a scripture with you from 1 Kings. So let's turn there in your Bibles and or on your iPads, wherever it works. The book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. This is what came out of Mary Jo's time. We're in verse 58. So 1 Kings 8, 58. That he, being God, may incline our hearts, that's us, to himself. That he may incline our hearts to himself. That we would walk in all his ways. That we would keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, which he commanded to our fathers. And 59 that says, and may these words of mine, which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God and there is no one else. Let your heart, therefore, be wholly devoted to the Lord your God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. I just have to underline verse 59 and that says, and may these words of mine be near to the Lord our God day and night. He loves you so much. He wants to hear your words all the time. He has a cause for you, his servant. And for us, his people. And it's him who keeps us close to himself. May we never forget that.
I have 4% on my iPad, so let's go quick. It won't be long, don't worry. This trip was amazing. Once again, as always, it is. Just to see how each one reacted to the different things that we did. One thing was, of course, driving, which I got to do all of because I just put myself on the rental vehicle. So you don't understand construction until you go to a big city. One of those, that city, of course, being Dallas, the GPS that you have, regardless if it's on your phone and is updated all the time, or if it's on the car, whether it's not updated all the time, they cannot keep up with the construction that's there. So I have to be paying attention to what I call my phone Lola when it's in the, just because, don't worry. It's an inside joke. But anyways, Lola doesn't like construction in Dallas. And so my phone would be telling me what to do, and I'd be looking around going, nope, that's not it, because it's not possible. So when we landed and we drove to our hotel, I missed the hotel. So we had to turn around. Jules is showing me 3 times, but it was only twice. Anyhow, that was just that aspect of it. And then we did a bunch of different things, you know, going to Gateway Church. It's only a couple miles away, so that one was easy. Then finding restaurants or finding the things that we were doing. We had to go to Potter's House on Sunday. And my phone ended up having a different address for Potter's House than Potter's House actually was. My phone thought it was 677 Keel West Road. It's actually 6777. Keel West Road. So I ended up being 60 blocks away from where I needed to be. So we ended up downtown Dallas, and then we get to this one spot. I'm like, this is where it's supposed to be, but it's not here. So I went in, Googled and everything, found the right address, and then just carried on the road and got there. Anyhow, that's just an example of what was going on that way regards. And so I got to see their reaction to how traffic was down there. And that's why I said earlier that they were a little more stressed over traffic than I was. But they also had to be looking and watching for where I was supposed to be going anyway. So anyhow, that was just the one aspect to the thing. But then when we actually got to the house of the Potter's house and went to service, it's a different service than what we are used to. Just so you know, if you ever watch T.D. Jakes on TV, you will see that he preaches a little different than I do. Their worship is a little different. They started out with a choir, one choir song, then they had one worship song. Now, the combination of those two songs ended up taking probably about 10 or 15 minutes, maybe a little longer. Then they had a few announcements, then Bishop Jakes came up to preach. And he starts out nice and calm, just like what I preach like, and then he starts getting into things, and the sweat starts pouring. And it was different. But after he preaches, then he had an altar call. And that's when church started. If you understand what I mean by church, like you go down to the south and you go to church and you have church. And that's when church started, because all of a sudden he brought the people up for prayer. He prayed over them, and then all of a sudden he starts singing, and the musicians have to figure out what key he's in, first of all. And so you hear this bass player going, at least I was hearing, I don't know if everyone else heard, but I heard the bass player as he found it. He was singing, "There's Power in the Blood," the old hymn. And they did an awesome rendition of that. They kicked in to send it on down after that. And then they spent on those two songs. Our church service ended up being about 45 minutes at that point, from that point to the end, on those two songs. And Bishop Jakes would be preaching, or would be singing, and then he'd be dancing around, everything like that. And people are getting blessed like crazy. These three went down for prayer, even though they said, under 40, that was the altar call. And Jen made it by like 3 weeks or something like that. Those two, they just decided they want to be blessed. They did repent while they're down there for lying. And anyhow, they got down there. And then Bishop Jakes would start walk away, and as if the service was done. And then all of a sudden, he would start dancing again and come back. And it happened probably about 3 or 4 times, but it was amazing. But then seeing our reserved couple that was with us, seeing how they reacted, they tried dancing. Anyhow, it was, and they used the excuse that it was cold, but it was very cold there. That was that experience. But then we go to Habitation, and I always say, you know what, it's good to go down there and experience something different, because you come back to Gateway, and it's more like what our services are like. Now, yes, the music is a little louder. They're a little bit more free and dancing and different things like that. But it's more like what we are used to, and it's just an amazing time. So, just seeing how our people react to those things and seeing their blessings that they all received, it was just amazing. Pastor Jakes, when his message was on the serum is in the venom, talking about the fact that what we are going through will actually be what heals us and will help to heal others as well. You know, when the Israelites, they were complaining against God, he sent serpents and they got bit and they were dying. And so then Moses started saying to God, "What are you doing? What are you doing with this?" And God says to him, beat a serpent out of brass and stick it up on a cross. And then as they look at that serpent, they will be healed. So there they are, getting healed by what ended up making them sick. It was quite an interesting concept. You should really, if you go on our Facebook page on the Manning Family Worship Center, Jules did post a link as to the sermon that he preached. Also, you can YouTube Bishop Jakes and the serpent, or serum is in the The solution is in the venom, in the serum, whatever. You just Google it and you'll find it eventually. October 2nd of this year. In regards to the Gateway service or the Gateway conference, the overall theme for me was the fivefold ministry, and that's in Ephesians chapter 4. It says, and he gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the service to the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a mature man, to a measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So when they, right from the get-go, Pastor Robert said that their church was all based on the fivefold ministry. And I've said that as well right from the get-go from when we've been here. But I don't know how it has been applied. And so through this conference, I saw different aspects to how it's applied, especially when it comes to apostleship. And it was just interesting. Pastor Robert started the conference off on Monday morning. Then he mentioned how church is. Church, you have a welcome, you have a songs, you have announcements, you have a collection of money, you have a speaker, and then you have an altar call. And he says that he was invited to speak at a Lions Club one time, and he was intrigued, because at the Lions Club meeting, they had a welcome, they had songs, they had announcements, they had a collection of money, they had a speaker, and they asked if anyone wanted to join the Lions Club to come to the front. He said, what seems so familiar about this? So the only difference between a Lions Club and a real church is that church is a lot better when Jesus attends your church. Is your church a Lions Club meeting, or does the Lion of Judah show up and join you? That's what he says. And it just was like, wow. You know, we need to make sure that we're not just a club. Then Pastor Brian came up. That was on Monday afternoon. I wanted to show you, like Jules says, that he's technologically note-taking, and they all took notes on their papers and ran out of room, so I decided to use my phone. I didn't want my iPad for some reason, but so in a half-hour sermon, I took notes and took notes. Oh, there we go. That's the end. You know, and it's just, it's really hard on your thumb. Because I text and I do everything with just one thumb, and trying to keep up with him was amazing. But that was where I got the most notes out of. I think it might have been because my thumb got tired. But he says that in the place of your fathers shall be your sons. You will make them princes in all the earth. I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. Psalm 45. We need to empower the younger generation. Jesus proved this. He was the first apostle, training others to become more like him. We should be more loyal to the future than we are to the past. We need to honor the past, but we need to build for the future. And then he said something that really struck hard. He said, Pastor Brian, of course, comes from Australia. He says he's part of the Commonwealth, but he said, do not build Prince Charles's who are into their 70s and are still not a king. You hear that? We're here to build kings, and yet we have a prince who's not yet king, and yet he's in his 70s. So what we need to do is, like Jen mentioned, we need to have our ceiling be their floor. We need to empower them to do that. What that means, we might have to do things that haven't been done before. We might have to do things and allow them, the inexperienced, to even have one of those sessions where possibly it might fail. We need to allow that to happen so that they can grow in what they're doing. We need to be intentional to build kings, to make sure they have what it takes to take on the next wave. But it is not a replacement, it is a building upon. You can't make a difference by always doing the same things. And then he said this quote, when was the last time you did something for the first time? Wow. And we had Craig Rochelle, which he is the lead pastor of North America's largest church, and it started out in a living room with not with the 79,000 that he has now, but with just a few people. And he said He talked about the forgotten doctrine of apostleship. He goes into Hebrews chapter 6, therefore let us leave the elementary doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity. And in that, there's one part that says the laying on of hands. And that's what the apostle does. He lays his hands and blesses the people for the other leaders, the other four that are in the fivefold ministry, blesses them and empowers them to go on. And so that's what he talks about. He also had other things that like with Jesus being the first apostle, that he was laying his hands on the disciples to do. And then it was mentioned about Greg Laurie. He is an evangelist, strong ministry. And I think Eleanor mentioned it, that he talked about what a dead church was. A dead church worships its past. A dead church is inflexible and resistant to change. Dead church has lazy leadership. A dead church neglects youth. A dead church lacks evangelistic passion. And it was, again, another powerful message that was given across in regards to leadership and how we need to empower the coming generations. And then Pastor Robert ended up ending the sessions with his sermon, and it really talked about the presence of God, living in his presence, that the omnipresence of God is with us at all times, but that we can leave the manifest presence of God. You look at Adam and Eve, they hid themselves from God. You look at Cain, he says that he went away from the presence of God. You look at Jonah, who fled the presence of God. And others in the Bible proved it. So we can be in the presence, the manifest presence of God. Exodus chapter 33, Moses is praying to God, and he says, if your presence does not go with us, then we will not go. So that doesn't make sense if it's talking about the omnipresence of God, because he says, I am with you always. But it's his manifest presence, knowing that when you come to church, Jesus is here. That we are worshiping the Lion of Judah. We're not just a lion's club. And that's really what Pastor Robert said. And it came down to, just like the others have reiterated, that it's not just Pastor Robert and what his message is. It's what Gateway Church is bringing to the world. And what he does, what they do, and they're very strong at it, is empowering other churches to do what they can do. They don't want to make little gateway churches all over the world. They want to empower the churches in their communities, in their culture, in their things, to do the things that they can with the help of Gateway Church. And so that's why when I asked them about the videos that we show every Sunday morning for Sunday school, I asked them, I said, can we do that? They said, most definitely. Anything that you can do or that we can do to help you guys grow. They will even send a team here if we wanted them to. They are there to help the leaders of the churches to gain access to all the multitudes of, in all honesty, mistakes that they've already made. Because they've developed most of their stuff through all those things. We really do. I can't tell you how many times, because people ask when they meet you new, they ask, where are you from? We're from Manning, Canada. Where's that? It's way north. And in fact, at that time, it was funny because we landed in Houston. I got a text from Laurel that said, this is what's happening at our house right now. And she showed the 2 or 3 inches of snow. And I was like, oh, great. It's like 30 here. So it's like, oops. Yeah. But anyways, other people were asking where we were from. So I'd show them that picture. Then they say, how big is your community? Well, we're 1,200 people. Well, is it close to anything big? I said, yeah, the closest Walmart is an hour away. They're like, what? Because the closest Walmart to anyone in the States is usually about 15 minutes. So they didn't understand the distance that we have to go to for things. But then they said, how big's your community? 1,200. How big's your church? Oh, I have about 120, 130 on an average. They're like, oh my goodness, you're a pastor of a mega church. You don't notice these things when you're in it. Because if this church, that percentage would be in Dallas, that would be an 800,000-person church. If the percentage of this church was in Edmonton, that's 100,000 people. So when you start to see that, you're like, whoa, wait a second. God has entrusted us with a lot. And it's not just one person. It's all of us. It's yes, the lead pastor, then it's the leadership teams, but every single person that makes up this church makes this church what it is. And so I thank God for that, and I thank him that he allowed us to see all these things. And so when it comes, so thank you to all of you for making this church what it is. For every single person that's here, I say that from the bottom of my heart. Let's pray.